In the summer of 2009, my wife and I began to look for a home when we were to move here to Arkansas. Now, we were living in Michigan at that time, and we got the assignment in May, early May of 2009, to come to locate in the Little Rock area. Now, I'd never had been in Arkansas except traveling through, so I didn't know a whole lot about it. And so some people suggested to get on the internet, look at real estate sites, and begin to kind of get an idea of homes that you might want to buy. And now, I had never bought a new home before, or let's say, let me back up a little bit. I built the home that we were living in Michigan in 1984, and I lived there for 25 years, but I never went out to look to shop and buy for a new home. So this was a new experience for us to get on the internet, and before we would even make our first visit in August, and spend virtually 2 months of our spare time, whenever we had a few minutes, getting on the internet, looking at real estate sites, shopping for homes. So we did that in our spare time, you know, little by little, looking at homes. And it's a new experience. You know, you look at the pictures and you say, oh, well, look at that. Lydia would say, oh, doesn't that kitchen look nice? And look at the cabinets. And, you know, look at the bathroom and you know, these little features, you know, the deck outside and such. And so we began to narrow down our shopping list of homes before we even looked at them, and narrowed them down to a top 10 list of homes when we got to Arkansas of what we would look at first. Now, looking back on the experience, I'm struck at how photos can look good and give you an impression, but actually seeing the home with your own eyes and your own senses is a whole different story. They can be sometimes dressed up in a way, especially photos, to look appealing from the outside or the inside. But then looking at them, you get a whole different impression, to the point that it can be a disappointment. But there's more important issues at deciding on a home than just its appearance. What condition is the roof, the shingles, the mechanical aspects, the plumbing, the electrical, the heating and the cooling? Not just looking at the cabinets and the flooring and that kind of thing. Now, I'll tell you just as a little sidelight, we didn't end up buying any of the top 10 of our list. We didn't buy them at all. We bought a totally different house. But there's more important issues to looking at a home than just its appearance. Even beyond that, beyond the mechanical aspects, the roof condition, etc., there's one important issue that often gets neglected, and that's the home's foundation, the supporting base of the building itself. In what condition is the foundation? Now, for me, having been involved in construction for almost 30 years before the church hired me, that is one of the first things that I look at when I'm looking at a home. But unfortunately, for most potential buyers, they're looking at the physical experience, and they're not really looking at the foundation, the supporting structure of the building. What condition is the building's foundation? How will it stand up against the storm and the rain? The storm and the rain, the wind, is what tests the foundation. If it gives out, the whole building is in trouble. So how can we apply spiritual lessons to the home buying experience? Are we just looking at our external appearance? Or are we looking at our foundation? Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 25. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 25 we read, when the whirlwind passes by, the wicked is no more, but the righteous has an everlasting foundation. Notice in verse 25 at the beginning, it talks about the whirlwind, a storm that can come up suddenly on the horizon and cause a whole world of disaster. But the storm that comes along, that's described here, blows away the wicked, but cannot dislodge the righteous. So there's a contrast in this particular verse. The short-lived nature of the wicked is contrasted with the stability of the righteous. Notice the phrase everlasting foundation. An everlasting foundation is one that stands the test of time no matter what calamity comes along. Storm, rain, it doesn't matter. It stands the test of time. The title of today's sermon is Building on the Right Foundation. Building on the Right Foundation. Today, let's examine how to build upon the right foundation, the right spiritual foundation, and that foundation is Jesus Christ. We'll start this message with the planning and thinking process that's involved in foundation building. You actually have to think and plan when you're building a foundation, because it's so important for the building structure. Then we will finish the sermon with three ways to strengthen your foundation. So we're going to begin talking about the thinking and planning process of a foundation, then three ways to strengthen your foundation. If you're a young person, it's time to think about your future. Are you building a foundation that will last? A foundation that will last and withstand the storms of life. If you're a long-time member, you've been around in the church for many, many years. How's your foundation holding up? Maybe it's time to stand back, take a look at your foundation, and see if it needs a little bit of work. As I said, foundation building involves planning and thinking ahead. God is the great foundation builder. Let's notice in Job chapter 38, just a few pages back from where we were in Proverbs, Job chapter 38, and we'll be reading verses 4 through 6. God's the great foundation builder, and he's a planning and thinking God. Job chapter 38, and let's begin reading in verse number 4. Now Job, God is asking questions of Job here. And he says to him in Job 38, verse number 4, he asks him this question. He says, "Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth?" Now to us, to read that particular scripture, we're thinking, okay, wait a minute. Now the earth is a round sphere, and it rotates in the our galaxy and the universe and such as that. You don't think of it as being having a foundation. But God says it does have a foundation. It's anchored. And thankfully it is, or it'd probably be jetting all over throughout the universe and we'd be having all kinds of problems. He says to Job, "Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding." And none of us do. We can't see God's great miracle, the way he works things and how he made the foundations of the earth. Verse number 5, who determined its measurements? Surely you know. So God says he even stretched out and had measurements when he made the foundations of the earth. Or who stretched the line upon it? Now when you stretch a line for a foundation, that's to keep it straight, to keep things straight and things plumb and level. Verse number 6, to what were its foundations fastened, or who laid its cornerstone? A cornerstone, the very principal building block of the foundation. God's asking these questions of Job. But notice what he's talking about here. Dimensions, a measuring line, footings, and a cornerstone. So God thought about and planned out the foundations of the earth when he created the earth. Let's go to Psalm chapter 1, just a few pages forward. The location of a foundation is critical. Very, very critical where you locate your foundation. For instance, if I'm going to build a house, I want to have a foundation that's somewhat elevated so that when it rains, the water will drain away from the foundation, not down in a valley where all the water will accumulate and cause damage. Very important, the location. And in this particular psalm, we're going to be reading Psalm 1, verses 1 through 5. There's two paths before us. Two locations that we can choose in life to go down. And that's what it's talking about. And this has to do with foundation building and anchoring and planning the path that we choose in our lives. It says, verse number 1, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Okay? Nor stands in the path of the sinners. This is the wrong path to go down. This is the wrong location to choose to build your foundation. Nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Now there's three people that are mentioned here going down that wrong path. Three terms for the wicked or people that are going down the wrong path. The ungodly. This is talking about the casual ungodly who really don't have a clue. They don't have a clue about God. They don't understand the Bible. They've never even maybe cracked open the Bible. Then it talks about the sinners. Those are those who miss the mark. They sin, but perhaps they should know better. Then it talks about the scornful. These are the mockers, the ones who have no regard for God or His commandments, and they treat religion with contempt or scorn. This is the path we don't want to go down. Continuing on, the man who doesn't walk down that path, verse number 2, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and he meditates in his law day and night. Now notice verse number 3. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of the water, that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. So this is a tree that soaks up water and bears good fruit. And we can soak up God's word that it's talking about meditating on day and night and bear spiritual fruit. But notice that this particular tree is planted by the water. So this isn't talking about a seed from a tree that just gets caught up in the wind and falls on any old spot. This particular tree was planted in a good spot by the water where it would be well watered, the roots would get a good nourishment, and it would grow forth fruit, spiritual fruit, if we put it in a spiritual analogy. So we want to plant our tree, we want to be anchored on that good path using God's word. That's how we want to anchor our foundations. And bearing fruit causes God's blessing to be upon us. So this was a tree that was planned. It was planned where it would be planted. And it is firmly anchored. Let's continue on now in verse number 4. The ungodly are not so. They weren't thinking about where to plant their tree. It was like the seed that was blowing in the wind and it just fell on any old spot. The ungodly are not so. They are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Now, going back to Proverbs chapter 10, verse 25, we talked about the whirlwind blowing, and it dislodges the wicked. This is what we're talking about here in verse number 4. The wicked, the one that chooses the wrong path, not anchored correctly, the wind blows it away, just like chaff. Verse number 5, therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. So the ungodly have no stability. They're not anchored in the correct spot. Their foundation is not stable. And brethren, there's a lot of whirlwinds blowing today that can blow us away spiritually if we're not anchored to the right foundation, or let's say, well-rooted. Notice verse number 5, the sinners. Sinners are not anchored as well. And sin is one of those winds that can sweep us away. Sin can sweep us away in a hurry. And in just a couple of months, or less than that actually, we'll be observing the Passover and the days of unleavened bread. So it's important for us to keep this in mind and be working on our spiritual foundations as the days of unleavened bread and Passover approach us. And remember what sin can do to us. It can blow us away. We must be anchored to the right foundation. So sin is one of those whirlwinds. But there's also other whirlwinds that face us today, such as doubts, suspicion, even false doctrine. Let's take a look at some of the whirlwinds that we face today. 1 Peter chapter 5. You might have been thinking about this quite a bit lately. 1 Peter chapter 5, in verse number 8. First Peter chapter 5, verse number 8, is one of those whirlwinds that can dislodge us from our foundation if we're not anchored correctly. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, a lion that will come up suddenly to attack, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Notice the admonition here, be sober. That means to be self-disciplined, thinking wisely and not foolishly. Also to be planning ahead, because you know that lion could jump out of the bushes at any time and attack. So you got to be ready. Be firmly rooted in God's word. It says be vigilant also. Be alert to the pitfalls, watching your steps as you go down the path that you choose. Notice the phrase, like a roaring lion. A roaring lion can attack when we least expect it. So that's another whirlwind that we face that can dislodge us if our foundations aren't anchored correctly. Let's look at some more whirlwinds in Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 12 through 19. Proverbs chapter 6. Here's a lot of whirlwinds that can dislodge us if we're not anchored correctly. Proverbs chapter 6, verse number 12. A worthless person, a wicked man, walks with a perverse mouth. He winks with his eyes. He shuffles with his feet. He points with his fingers. This is talking about an accuser that's going around accusing. And we know of the scripture, the accuser of the brethren. That's a whirlwind that can dislodge us. Perversity is in his heart. He devises evil continually. He sows discord. Therefore, his calamity shall come suddenly. Suddenly, he shall be broken without remedy. Continuing on in verse number 16, these six things the Lord hates, and yes, seven are an abomination to him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among the brethren. These are whirlwinds that can dislodge us if we're not anchored to the right foundation. And notice that in this particular list, lying is mentioned twice along with sowing discord. Another whirlwind that will be facing mankind, according to Bible prophecy, very soon, Revelation chapter 3, Revelation chapter 3, verse number 10. Revelation chapter 3, verse number 10. Because you have kept my commandments, talking to the angel of the church of Philadelphia, because you have kept my commandments to persevere, I will also keep you from the hour of trial, which shall come upon the whole world. So an hour of trial is prophesied to happen upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. You don't have to turn there, but you can jot in your notes Jeremiah chapter 30 and verse 7, Jeremiah 30 and verse 7, which it talks about the time of Jacob's trouble. And it says, that day is great, so that none is like it. It's a whirlwind that's going to come upon the earth to test the people on the earth. So our foundations must be rock solid. We must be anchored correctly. Sometimes it's good to, especially with the holy days coming on, to stop. And what I would say in a physical analogy, stand back. Take a look at your foundation. If you were worried about your physical home and its foundation, you'd have to actually take a walk around it, inspect it, and see how it's holding up, if there's any cracks or any problems. We need to do that spiritually as well. Sometimes, you know, the soil can erode because of rain. In the Little Rock area, when we first came here in the fall of 2009, a couple years ago, they had something like a record-setting 80 inches plus of rain. If you remember a couple of years ago how much rain there was. Of course, this last summer it was like a drought, I think. It was hot and dry. But 2 years ago there was just an abundance of rain. Well, that tests a foundation when the soil begins to erode. And sometimes it's good to take a look and examine your physical foundation. But spiritually we need to examine our foundations as well. Now you might say, okay, well, my spiritual house was built a long time ago. My foundation is pretty much set. But I would say that sometimes it's good to take a look at your spiritual foundation as well. You know, I remember a few years back when I was still working in construction. I was a licensed builder in Michigan. And as a licensed builder in Michigan, you can do home inspections for people when they ask you. And there was some members in the church that were going to buy a house out in the country, and they asked if I would go out and make a home inspection for them, and I said I would. And this house was set out in the country, a beautiful, beautiful spot. It had a nice pond and kind of up on a hill, and I drove up to that house, and it was a really gorgeous house. And I was just, you know, he's one of those where your mouth kind of opens up. Wow, what a beautiful looking house. I knocked on the door and the people were expecting me and they said, come on in. And as I began to look around and I came into the kitchen dining area, chandelier with skylights, a vaulted ceiling with beautiful woodwork. I looked off over to the cabinets and the formica tops, how beautiful everything was. It's one of those things when you walk into a beautiful home like that, you're like, this is so beautiful. I'm almost ashamed to ask to go around and inspect it, you know. But I was there to do a job. And so I said to the homeowners, I said, well, could I take a look at your basement? Now, I know people here in Arkansas aren't accustomed to having basements, but in Michigan we do. We have, as generally speaking, most people have basements, you know, under their houses where the foundations are. So I said, could I take a look at your basement, your foundation? And the woman looked at the man, you know, kind of a funny look. And I thought, well, that was kind of a funny look that she gave him. And I thought, well, they're probably thinking, you know, they've got such a beautiful home, why would I want to go down there and look in the basement? Or maybe there's too much junk down there, they didn't want me down there, you know. I didn't know what they're thinking. But they showed me the door and I walked down into the basement. And as I started to do my inspection, I started noticing things. The floorboards up above where the joists for the ceilings above, they had these funny braces set. Even posts in 4x4s that were stretched across from one side to the other. I thought, something's been going on here. And I began to look around a little bit more, and it was a block, cinder block foundation. And I began to see the cracks in the foundation where they actually had water leaking into the cement floor in the basement. I went outside, and I saw where fresh earth had just been moved. And this was the winter time. And it had snowed recently, but I could still see where fresh earth had been moved, and a black tar had been placed on the foundation walls to take care of the cracks that were in this particular foundation. Now, I tell this particular story because here was a beautiful home, absolutely beautiful, and yet it had problems with the foundation, which would affect the building itself. So I began to think, I said, well, there must be some kind of proof upstairs of what is happening down below. So I asked to go up into the bedrooms where the side of where they'd had problems with the foundation. And sure enough, I went to open the bedroom door, and it was the header had come down to where the door wouldn't even open without really forcing on it. And the closet doors the same. So the house had settled because of the cracks in the foundation. So the moral of the story is things can look beautiful from the outside. And when we use a spiritual analogy, we might look good on the outside, but what is our foundation like? So let's continue on. It's important for us to examine our foundations. Are they ready to weather the spiritual storms? Where do we start? Where do we start? Let's go to Psalm 125. Where do we start so that we can be ready for those storms of life when they come along? Psalm 125, verse number 1. Where do we go when those sudden storms come along, and who do we trust? Psalm chapter 125, verse number 1. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever. Notice the phrase, Trust in the Lord. Not what men say, but trust in the Lord. And it says, they are like Mount Zion. Mount Zion is a picture of a mountain anchored to the earth. A mountain is an emblem of firmness and stability. So those who trust in the Lord are like this mountain that's anchored to the earth, firm and stable. Notice it says, they cannot be moved. When those spiritual storms come along that we read about earlier, you won't be moved. Notice it also says, abides forever. Abides forever, a description of being firmly anchored. I'd like to read the Amplified Bible's version of this particular verse. This is how the Amplified Bible reads of Psalm 125, verse number 1. It says, those who trust in, lean on, and confidently hope in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides and stands fast forever. Stands fast forever because the foundation is built upon Christ. Stands fast forever because the spiritual foundation is built upon Christ. Let's notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul says this very thing. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. First Corinthians chapter 3, let's begin reading in verse number 10. Notice this is the Apostle Paul writing now, talking about his ministry to the people of God. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, he's talking about building the church now, his particular congregations, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. So he's building the foundation for his church areas, and then there's other elders that are helping him as well. But let each one take heed on how he builds on it. Verse number 11, he gives the key here. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So Paul is saying, my foundation, the church that I'm building, is laid upon Jesus Christ. And you should build your foundation upon Christ as well. Christ gives us information on how to build upon Him. We're going to look at two accounts of the wise builder according to Christ. We're going to look, first of all, at Matthew, and then we're going to look at Luke's account. Let's go to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Remember now that Christ was a carpenter, and back in those ancient times, carpentry didn't involve so much woodwork as it did masonry work and that type of thing. And Christ was a craftsman. He knew what he was talking about when it came to building things. And also, he was the creator, as we know, of the universe. He was the one that built the foundations that we read about in Job. So he knew what he was talking about when he's talking about building. And he tells us here in Matthew chapter 7 on how to anchor off our foundations. Let's take a look, Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine, talking about his words in the Bible, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. Verse 26, but everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. So there's two houses being contrasted here in this particular story. One that's built on the rock and one that's built on the sand. Now the key difference in the two houses is not their external experience, how they look on the outside, whether they're beautiful or not. Both houses probably looked pretty good on the outside. The key story in this story is the foundations. The House on the Rock pictures a life founded on a proper relationship to Christ. It will stand the tests of judgment, but the House on the Sand will fail the test. So Christ gives us some key elements that are involved in spiritual foundation building. And with the Passover and unleavened bread coming, it's time for us to evaluate our foundation and how they're anchored. Notice verse number 24. Christ is talking about the wise man here. He says the wise man is the one who built his house on the rock. Wisdom involves planning and thinking ahead, like we talked about in the beginning of the sermon. Planning and thinking ahead, because those storms are going to be coming along. And there's all kinds of storms. We've looked at some scriptures, but even storms that go beyond that. No, storms of health. Sometimes we have those things that we will all face in our lifetime. Problems with health. That can be a storm in our life. Financial storms. The financial condition of our country is causing a lot of problems for people around the nation. Those can be storms of life for us. Besides the other things that the scriptures that we've already looked at. But the wise man builds his house on the rock. He's been planning, thinking ahead, ready for those storms. But there's also the description in verse 26 of the house on the sand, the one that wasn't built on the rock. And you know, in ancient Palestine in those days, there was pleasant sandy hollows that people liked to build upon. And having been in construction, I think maybe some of you know this, but sand is a natural building material. Sand will compact easily, and you can build upon sand. A lot of times it's placed down in footings for foundations. And so it's a natural building material, but people would look at these sandy hollows and throw up their houses on these sandy hollows without putting a foundation down, or digging down into the earth, let's say. But then when these hollows would fill up with water during the rainy season, it washed them away. And that's what Christ is getting at here. They didn't build a foundation. They built it hurriedly on the sand, and it wouldn't stand when the storms came along. And in fact, archaeologists have excavated homes from those ancient times in Chorazin and Capernaum, and they've seen that some of those homes were built without a foundation at all, just thrown up in a hurry. And this is what Christ is getting at. Don't throw up your spiritual house in a hurry. Make sure it's anchored on the rock. He's talking in verse 26 about the foolish man who builds his house in a hurry on the sand. He's not thinking ahead when those storms of life come along. And the times are tenuous for all of us, brethren. We have to be planning. We have to be seeing what we need to do to anchor ourselves and using the scriptures to evaluate ourselves. He says here in verse 26, hears these sayings and does not do them. Not doing what you've heard, not what you've read, not doing what you have read in the Bible, in the admonitions there. Notice in verse 24, he says, those who hear and he who hears and does. That's another key to foundation building, using God's word in our lives. Now let's go to Luke chapter 6. This is Luke's account of the very same scriptures that we read in Matthew. It has a little bit more information involved. Luke chapter 6, and we'll be reading verses 46 through 49. Luke 6:46. But why do you call me Lord, and do not the things which I say? Remember, we read in Matthew's account, not hearing and not doing. Continuing on in verse number 47. Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against the house, and it could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. But he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Now we got a little more information here in Luke's account. Notice he says in verse 48, is like a man building a house who dug deep. Dug deep. Actually put a lot of effort in digging down into the earth to build those foundations and finding the rock. He didn't just throw his foundation up on the sand the way it was. He dug deep. Effort was involved. He also says in verse number 47, he who hears and does. Here's what the Nelson Study Bible says about this phrase, hearing and doing. The Nelson Study Bible says, one who listens to and acts on Christ's teaching can face any difficult circumstance. Not acting on Christ's teaching will cause a person to be overwhelmed by circumstances, eventually resulting in total loss. So we must be hearing and doing the words that we read in the Bible to be ready for those storms of life when they come along. So we're talking about wise foundation building for us spiritually. So let's finish now the sermon with three ways to build or strengthen your foundations. Three ways to build or strengthen your foundations. Number one, we must diligently apply God's Word in our lives. We must diligently apply God's Word in our lives. As Christ said, hear my sayings and doing them. And by doing that, by diligently applying God's words, we'll have a house that will not fall. We'll be anchored to God's word when those storms come along. So we must take a look at the law to see the cracks in our foundation. Let's notice, hold your place here in Luke, and let's go to James. James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verse 25. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty, as Christ put it in the accounts that we previously read, hearing my sayings and doing them, he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. So we must be using the perfect law of liberty, God's word, to strengthen our foundations, to find those cracks and to mend those cracks. Using God's word and his law to evaluate ourselves with it. You might jot down in your notes, we won't turn there, but Matthew 19 and verse 17 says, if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments. Matthew 19 verse 17. Using God's commandments to mend the cracks in our foundation. Let's do turn to Psalm 89. Continue to hold your spot in Luke chapter 6, and let's go to Psalm 89. I think this is a very interesting scripture. Psalm chapter 89, verse 14. Talking about diligently applying God's word in our lives, including the Ten Commandments. Proverbs. Well, Psalms, I'm sorry. Psalm chapter 89. Psalm 89 and verse 14. Righteousness and justice. And we know all your commandments are righteousness according to Psalm 119 verse 172. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. So God's very throne, his very throne that he sits upon and rules the universe, is built upon the Ten Commandments and his word. It's the anchor upon his throne that holds his throne together. And for us to be rulers in God's kingdom, for us to be rulers, our thrones have to be anchored upon God's law as well. It has to be a part of our foundation. So we must diligently apply God's word in our lives to have the proper foundations to weather the storms. A second way to build or strengthen our foundations is to dig deep in examining ourselves. Let's go back to Luke 6. I hope you held your spot there. We must dig deep in examining ourselves. Notice again the first part of verse 48. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. A one who digs deep works hard. He puts forth extreme effort in examining himself and his life and the flaws and cracks according to God's word. Let's continue to hold your spot here in Luke 6, and let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 5. And with the holy days coming in a short time, it's good to dig deep in examining ourselves. 2 Corinthians. Second Corinthians chapter 13 and verse number 5. Examine yourselves. And I would add, dig deep in examining yourselves. Examine yourself as to whether you are in the faith by using God's word. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified? So we must test ourselves, examine ourselves, and examine ourselves with Christ's word as well. You don't have to turn there, but you can put in your notes 1 Corinthians 11, verse 28. 1 Corinthians 11, 28, where it says, let a man examine himself, and especially before the Passover in the days of unleavened bread. But it's also a year-round effort in case cracks begin to form in our spiritual foundation, to be digging deep in examining ourselves. I'd like to read the Amplified version of 1 Corinthians 13, verse 5, the first part of it. Here's how the Amplified Bible reads. It says, examine and test and evaluate your own selves to see whether you are holding to your faith and showing the proper fruits of it. So examining, testing, evaluating ourselves to see how we're holding our faith and showing the proper fruits. Growing in the fruits of the Spirit, in other words. Let's go to 1 Peter, a few pages forward. 1 Peter chapter 2. We're all being built, we're building our own foundations, spiritual foundations, but we're also a part of a greater foundation, the church. We're being built as a part of the church and its foundation as well. 1 Peter chapter 2. And let's notice verses 4 and 5. 1 Peter 2, beginning of verse number 4, coming to him, talking about Christ, as to a living stone, and Christ is a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. Then he says here to us, you also, as living stones, are being built up, part of the foundation, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Notice in verse number 4, it says, coming to Him or measuring up to Him. How do we measure up? Are we examining ourselves? Measuring up to Christ as the living stone. Notice verse number 5, it says, being built part of that foundation. We must be digging deep and examining ourselves to have our spiritual foundation strong. And then number 3, the third way to build or strengthen our foundations is to focus on growing and overcoming. Focus on growing and overcoming. Let's go back to Luke chapter 6. We must be focusing on growing and overcoming. Notice Luke 6 and verse 49. But he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth with a foundation. Christ's words, his words of admonition to us is heard and did nothing. Someone who hears and does nothing is not growing and overcoming. The storms will sweep him away. We can't afford to do nothing, brethren. We must be growing. Continue to hold your place in Luke 6, and let's go to Revelation chapter 3. We've talked in these scriptures about hearing and doing. Here's another admonition of hearing, admonition to the seven churches. Revelation chapter 3. Christ says we must be hearing and doing. Revelation chapter 3, notice verse number 6. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So we're going to read what we should be doing, what we should be hearing and doing. Verse number 12. Behold, I come quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one take your crown. Verse number 12. He who overcomes, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God. So overcoming is part of the doing process that we should be doing. Verse number 19. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Repent is part of that overcoming process, evaluating ourselves and seeing where we need to correct flaws in our life according to God's Word. Verse 21 and 22. To him who overcomes, that doing process, he who overcomes I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And it says to overcome and repent. You don't have to turn there, but Romans chapter 6 and verse 4, Romans 6 and verse 4 talks about walking in newness of life. And walking in newness of life, we realize that we do make mistakes. We're all human. We make mistakes, but we have the chance by overcoming to repair those cracks in the foundation, and walk in newness of life. Let's go back to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, verse 47. It says, he who hears my sayings and does them. If we're overcoming, we're replacing what's wrong and replacing it with better fruits, fruits of the Spirit. Let's go to Mark chapter 4. Hold your place in Luke chapter 6. Continue to hold it there. Let's go to Mark chapter 4. Let's listen to another scripture that Christ tells us to hear and to do. Mark chapter 4. And of course, this is the parable of the sower. Mark chapter 4, verse number 4. Listen! Behold, a sower went out to sow. Notice verse number 9. He said to him, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Verse number 14. The sower sows the word, and these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately, one of those storms that we read about in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 8. Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground. The foundation isn't anchored. When they hear the word, immediately they receive it with gladness. And they have no root, like we read about in Psalm chapter 1. It's not anchored firmly by the waters. They have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Because they're not rooted. The foundation, the spiritual foundation isn't there. Verse number 18. Now these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things entering in, chokes the word, and become unfruitful. So those are the wrong foundations, the wrong paths to go down. They're not rooted and grounded. But notice verse number 20. These are the ones that are hearing and doing and overcoming. Verse 20. These are the ones sown on good ground. Those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit. Not only do they bear fruit, but some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. So bearing fruit, you can jot down in your notes, John 15 and verse number 8, John 15 verse 8, It says, Christ said, "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So you will be my disciples." Let's go back to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, verse 48. "He who heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth with a foundation." That's 49. "He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against the house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock." So when the flood arose, those storms of life that came along, we can have a firm foundation no matter what trials are in front of us. Storms of wind and sin, our adversary, trials, discord, whatever it might be, we have the firm foundation. Because our foundations will get tested. They do get tested, brethren. Our foundation has to be anchored to Christ. One who builds on sand is short-sighted. He did not see what would happen in 6 months' time after choosing to build on sand. It gets washed away. But the person who builds on the rock is not short-sighted. He sees the things not in the light of the moment, but in the light of eternity. Finally, let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. Last scripture. Ephesians chapter 2. And we'll be reading verses 20 through 22. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 20. We've talked about hearing and doing according to God's word. Notice verse number 20. "Having been built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone." That's the foundation that we want to be built on. Verse number 21. "In whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord." Verse 22. In whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Christ is the living foundation of the church and should be the living foundation of anyone in the church, all of us as living stones. Keep in mind the admonition, and you don't have to turn there, but in Philippians 2 and verse 5 it says, "Let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus." Christ's very mind should be part of our foundation building. With the Passover and the days of unleavened bread coming in the near future, we should keep these principles of foundation building in mind. That overcoming is part of what Christ wants us to do. Examining ourselves with effort, digging deep, and abiding in His Word as part of our very lives. It's part of the foundation's maintenance project that we need to do. Stand back and evaluate our lives. So let's evaluate, brethren. Let's evaluate how we've been doing. If we've been overcoming and growing in spiritual fruit, obeying God's word, and measuring up to Christ. If we've been doing that, and we are examining ourselves, our foundations will be strong, and we will be able to weather any of the sudden storms that come upon us in our lives.